Theater Guild on the air. Every day, everywhere, every life is introduced to drama. Some of it we experience personally. Much of it we experience in our reading, in our viewing, in our listening. And so it is that the Theater Guild on the air brings you an interesting dramatic presentation and a cast composed of prominent stage, screen, and radio personalities. Now, here is the Theater Guild on the air program announcer, Norman Brokenshire.
And now, as the lights go down at the Belasco Theater in New York, here, speaking for the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, is Roger Pryor, with a word about our play and players.
Tonight, our Theater Guild on the Air presentation is an outstanding event in radio entertainment, with Frederick March, Barbara Bel Geddes, and Hugh Williams as our stars, masterpieces of the creative imagination, The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. You'll hear Frederick March recreate the characterization that made his screen performance of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde one of the unforgettable triumphs of motion picture history. Barbara Bel Geddes plays Elizabeth Cherry, and Hugh Williams is John Utterson, who tells us the story. We raise the curtain now on Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, adapted for radio by Leslie Reed and directed by Homer Thicke.
I begin this story in the chapel of a little out-of-the-way burying ground near London. For in that place, and at that moment, all we could do about the figure in the coffin was to try to understand him. It was too late for us to change him or save him or punish him.
Mr. Utterson, I should be interested to take a last look at him.
I'm sorry, the coffin is sealed.
Sealed? But how... How extraordinary.
I'm sorry, but we prepare it that way. I said prefer, but we had no choice. For the man we were learning to rest that day had died in another man's body. The time was the later years of the reign of Queen Victoria, and Dr. Henry Jekyll was one of the most brilliant men of our generation. Yet somehow, we never felt quite that Henry Jekyll was one of us. I, John Utterson, was his close friend and legal advisor. But when I tell his story, it seems to belong to some alien future. I feel that I'm speaking to generations yet unborn, just as I think Jekyll was, for example, in his famous address to the Royal Society in 1885. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. You are very kind.
Jekyll, do you have a moment?
Ah, Lanyon, my friend. I didn't think you would deign to come and listen.
Your theories are always talented.
This one.
Really, Jekyll, I must say.
Well, come and stay it in the anteroom. Elizabeth is meeting me there.
I trust your fiancé as well.
Yes, Jekyll. Thank you.
Now, Jekyll, I'm speaking as a friend. What was the purpose of your elaborate joke?
Joke, Lanyon?
Your paper man. You, solemn as a judge, telling the collected scientific brains of the kingdom that Faust and such like legends may be literally true.
I repeat, Lanyon, it is not legend, but science. Man is not truly one, but truly two. I firmly believe that we shall one day split the atom. So why not my theory?
Divide the human body.
Let's say, transform it.
Balderdash, Jekyll. Unscientific balderdash. I tell you.
Oh, Elizabeth, my dear.
Henry, you are wonderful.
Thank you, dear.
How are you, Miss Carey?
At the moment, very proud, Dr. Lanyon.
But our friend thinks I was joking, Elizabeth.
Miss Carey, has he converted you? Do you believe that every man and every woman is a battleground where two natures contend for supremacy?
It's for scientific men to follow him, Dr. Lanyon. All I can do is have faith in him.
Can't you see, Lanyon? If my theory is true, life would be relieved of all that makes it unbearable. Everything that leads us to disgrace and remorse set free. Relief. An end to the torments within us.
Transcendental medicine. But
I tell you, Lanyon, man at the end of this 19th century stands on the threshold of vast new discoveries in science.
Yes, science, but not fantasies of the imagination. I warn you, Jekyll, you are playing with fire. Beware of letting loose something you may not be able to control.
4 o'clock, and the city still sleeps. Here alone in my laboratory, the drugs are ready. There I make the experiment.
You said you would. You said you would.
My own thought answers me. My other self. The other side of my being.
Your other self, whom you can set free. You know the secret, Chico.
There I mix the drugs. Dare I call forth the unknown?
Courage, Chico. A whole new world is within your grasp. A whole new life that no man has ever lived before.
A new life. Freedom to all my suppressed longings for nameless pleasure. For power. For rich experience of all kinds. Freedom to my other self. Myself without a name.
Give me a name, man. Give me a shape. A body. Bring me into the world.
You are only a thought hiding in my mind.
Hide? How appropriate. Call me that. When you are Mr. Hyde, you shall be free of all your bonds.
But my bond to Elizabeth Carey. I love her. I would not wish to abandon her.
She shall never know of Mr. Hyde. Never see that side of you. Summon me and I shall appear. Dismiss me and I pass away like the stain of breath upon a mirror.
My hand is on the file. And yet I'm trembling. My heart is pounding. The drugs may kill me. Dare I risk it?
Dare you not? You, whose soul has been racked by secret longings. You who have been tortured through sleepless nights by the infinity of the unexplored.
I will. I will.
The powder into the liquid.
The powder into the liquid.
Drink!
May the powers of the unknown help me. For now, I drink.
My life is passing. I can hear voices from the day of my birth.
There's a 7:30.
What time, boy? These boys of sticks are never late, Sir Church Henry. Hurry up.
I admit you to the practice of medicine. Pronounce the ancient oath of our profession. To Henricus Deacon, forward in high aula luris.
Well done, Deacon. Going up in the world.
Respectability, my boy. A doctor can't be seen there.
Your reputation, Dr. Jekyll. Reputation. Respectability.
Balderdash, some scientific balderdash.
I am not. I am lost.
On the contrary, Dr. Jekyll. This is but the pangs of birth.
I. You are I.
Yes, my friend. It is I, in the flesh and at your service. Thank you very much, my dear doctor. Before, Hyde was but a thought in the mind of Jekyll. Now, Jekyll is but a thought in the mind of Hyde.
I feel. I don't know how to express it.
Free, of course. Younger, lighter, happier in body. To live at last. To experience forbidden pleasure. To enjoy power without restraint of law.
You seem to be smaller than I.
Now you have freed it and given it a physical form, it shall grow.
What do you look like, Hyde? Let us go to the mirror. My other self.
I am what I am, Dr. Jekyll. There is no mask of hypocrisy on my face. And don't pretend you find me repulsive.
Evil. Pure evil is written on your face, Hyde. Plainly and broadly. And your hands are the human or the paws of an ape.
That is the small price I must pay to our ancestors for the luxury of unbridled freedom. Now, the birds again, to transform me back to Jekyll until you have made preparation for the life of Mr. Hyde.
Preparation? How?
You must order clothes smaller than your own to fit the body of Hyde. A lodging, money, the freedom of your own house. After that, Jekyll, you may summon me forth whenever the fancy seizes you. Dark, nearly dawn. The potion must be mixed.
Will it succeed in reverse? Will it? Or is my identity as Henry Jekyll lost beyond redemption?
I think. I have done it. The conclusive experiment.
I.
Au revoir, Dr. Jekyll. Au revoir. You will see me often henceforth. Come in, Poole.
You rang, sir?
Yes. Yes, Poole, I want to give you some instructions about Mr. Hyde, a young friend of mine.
Mr. Hyde, sir?
Yes, Mr. Edward Hyde. I have invited him to use the house as his own whenever he feels so inclined. He has my permission to use the laboratory also. I've given him a key to the back door.
Very good, sir.
And you'd better tell the other servants. That's all, Poole.
Tired, Henry. Tell me, what have you been doing with yourself?
Oh, hospital, laboratory, you know. But I can forget all that when I'm with you, Elizabeth. It's so peaceful here.
Oh, is it? As father's secretary, I have little peace. Papa's a member of the government working for the country.
Hoping to make everyone happier, I suppose. Man is a fiend or an angel. What can government do to change that?
Henry, what is the matter?
Matter?
Yes. It's indifferent. Troubled, I think, with the agitation about your researches. Is that why you're worried?
The accused pleaded not guilty and reserved his defense.
Ah, Jekyll?
Yes, Sir Danvers?
Liz, my dear, can I trouble you to go and check the abstracts of those two command papers?
All right, Father. Excuse me, Henry.
Certainly.
Jekyll, I wanted a word alone with you.
Yeah, that was somewhat obvious, Sir Danvers.
Well, Jacket. The fact is, Jekyll, I'm worried about you and my daughter.
Sir Danvers, I love Elizabeth. I always shall.
Then, for heaven's sake, man, what are you waiting for?
You are right, Terry. I am at fault. Nonetheless, I must beg your understanding and indulgence. I am engaged in some highly absorbing experiments of a scientific nature.
Well, need they preclude an early wedding?
I fear, sir, they must. Pray accept my word as an English gentleman that these experiments are of the greatest importance to the cause of British science.
Oh, very well, Jekyll, very well. I accept your word. But I confess my uneasiness has not been alleviated. No, not at all.
It was to me, John Utterson, that Jekyll came to make legal provision for the being called Edward Hyde. It was in the form of a last will and testament written in Jekyll's own hand. I read it with surprise and disbelief.
My dear Utterson, the man can dispose of his property as he pleases.
Have you considered how this will affect your fiancée, Elizabeth Carey?
Elizabeth has nothing to do with young Mr. Hyde.
But who is he, Jekyll, that you calmly propose to leave him nearly £500,000?
Utterson, confess. Are you not convinced Edward Hyde is my son as well as my heir?
I don't know what he is. I know this is madness.
Excuse me interrupting, Mr. Utterson, but would you sign this bill of costs?
In a moment. No, Utterson. I've already taken too much of your time. Be good enough to put my will in your safe, anyhow. You notice it's been signed and properly witnessed.
Very well, Jekyll.
Good afternoon, Miss Guest. Do not trouble to show me out.
Good afternoon, Dr. Jekyll.
Wait a moment, Guest. Close the door.
Yes, sir.
Madness. Guest, have you ever met a friend of Dr. Jekyll's called Hyde? Mr. Edward Hyde?
No, sir, I never have.
Well, look at this. Dr. Jekyll has made him his sole heir.
Really, sir?
And more than that, look. In the event of Jekyll's unexplained absence for more than 3 months, Hyde is to step into his shoes.
I've never heard of such a thing, sir.
No more have I, Guest. And I propose to find out something about this fortunate young gentleman. If he be Mr. Hyde, I shall be Mr. Seek. The will gave a mean street in Soho as Mr. Hyde's address. Thenceforth, I haunted that thoroughfare and kept a keen eye on Hyde's door. Then, one night, a little man, almost a dwarf, came stumping along at a good walk, singing to himself while his stick tapped the pavement.
Merry weddings are the wiser, and good advice they bring. Bar the door like any miser, till thou secures the wedding ring.
Afterwards, it occurred to me that the singing of that song from Faust by that man had in it some quality of symbolism. But at the time, I was interested only in the sight of a little girl of 8 or 10 running as hard as she could down a cross street. At the corner, the man and the child collided.
Oh! Down,
you brother! Oh, no, Bobby, I'm hurt!
Soft, little creature, underneath my boot.
Most carefully, the man trampled over the child's body and left her screaming on the ground as he strode on singing.
He now secures the wedding ring.
Stop that man! Stop him! He's the one! Stop the car, guy, the villain! Stop him! What happened?
I'll have better open your eyes, Ducky. Stop you! I've got your
eyes, shall I say?
Fine.
Get him, ugly. Be good enough to keep your distance, all of you. There appears to be an acute shortage of soap and water among you.
Here is ours. I'll plant him down, little
girl. Here, now, get away. Get away. Wait, please, wait. We'll hand him over to the police.
But can't you see what he's done to my Arabella?
What good pray would arresting me do for Arabella? A charming name.
You can swing to this, you swine.
You're a mark of the calendar. Does it mean nothing to you? You might have injured that child very seriously.
You choose to make capital out of this accident. I am naturally helpless. No gentleman but wishes to avoid a scene.
A gentleman is? Lord love.
Police! I want him in jail.
No. No, madam. You'd do better with £100, madam.
£100?
Now, let me see. Here are £25 in notes and gold. And I happen to have a check for the balance in my pocket. Take it.
I shouldn't advise her to take your check, my friend.
That's not. But this is drawn by one of the best-known men in London.
See? Henry Jekyll. How did you come by that?
That is my business. Give it to her.
The crowd dispersed then, and I stood alone with the creature.
I have had an unnerving experience, Mr. Utterson. I propose to retire. Otherwise, I should have given myself the pleasure of inviting you in for a nightcap.
I have long wanted to meet you, Mr. Hyde.
How did you know me?
On your side. Will you do me a favor?
Pleasure. What shall it be?
Will you let me see your face under the light?
All right. There.
A memorable face, Mr. Hyde.
Think you will know me again?
Good night.
And that is what happened last night, Chico. I tell you, he made me shudder.
Shocking. Shocking. But perhaps it was an accident.
Chico, why do you try to excuse the horrible fellow? I tell you, Satan's signature is written on his face. Look out for him, Chico.
My good Utterson, you are a true friend, but you...
I asked you before, and I ask you now again. What about Elizabeth? Don't you see that when you're married, this will in favor of I...
Don't mention Elizabeth. She doesn't know of Hyde's existence, and she never shall.
Oh, you're beyond me, Jekyll, absolutely. You've made me more uneasy than ever.
Then, to put your heart at rest, Utterson, I will tell you one thing. The moment I choose, I can be rid of Mr. Hyde. And so you shall remain. I have done with you, Hyde. Your cruelty to that child was abominable.
A child? Ha! She was well compensated?
I've done with you, I say.
Do you remember Marie? Do you remember Annette?
I want no more of the pleasures you led me to. I renounce them.
A noble sentiment, Dr. Kittle. Go. But
But if you had really consigned me permanently to the past tense, pray tell me just one thing. Why did you not give up the house in Soho? You sniveling hypocrite. Come on. I must be out.
I don't wish it.
I don't wish it. Ah, I have a wish and longing tonight. Quick, prepare your potion, you know. If you continue to frustrate me, you'll go badly with you one of these days. Out, I say.
Why do I yield? I loathe myself.
Quick, we'll see who's master. Quick, get up. Quick.
You insufferable shilly shallying hair sitting poltroon, you've made me late. I must still prepare myself for the street. Tonight! And I shall smash anything in my way.
I, in heaven's name, take care.
What do I care about heaven? What do I owe heaven? I'm on fire, man. I shall burn and blast my way. I hate them all. I hate them. I say he hates me.
And for my sake, you owe me everything.
You? Who are you? What are you? My jailer for 2 months.
Where are you going, Hyde?
But your little beauty, Vico. My hands are burning for her.
Yes, sir? What do you desire?
What is the world coming to? Sir Denver's Kerry opens his own front door. No footman, no butler's Kerry, dear me. Out of my way, man.
Wait, who are you, sir?
Hyde, my name. And I wish to speak to your charming daughter, Sir Danvers.
What?
I have a burning desire to see that fairest of ladies.
Sir,
let me pass.
Stay where you are, sir. Stop.
Out of my way.
Stop. Oh, that.
I'll smash a stick over you. The great Sir Danvers is brought low by Hyde. Let us see his pulse. Would you believe it? No pulse. Better postpone our call on Miss Elizabeth. Discretion is the better part of dalliance, eh? So, Sir Danvers takes sudden leave of his senses, and Mr. Hyde of Sir Danvers.
On the second act of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, starring Frederick March as Jekyll and Hyde, Barbara Bel Geddes as Elizabeth, and Hugh Williams as Utterson.
Home and safe in the laboratory. Mother, wedding bells are ringing. Now mix the potion, and we summon back our noble Dr. Henry Jekyll. But let us drink a toast to the late Sir Danvers Kerry and the drug itself. The toast from the man who cannot be found. That splendid young fellow, Edward Hyde. I drink the potion.
Oh, may heaven forgive me. Hyde, you beast. Murdering that man. And this unchained ear is I. My brain, my science, now drenched in blood. And what will happen when Kerry's body is found? I must see John Utterson. What can I tell him?
Stop whining, Beetle. I have burnt all my papers in the Soho house. They'll never trace it to you. You're perfectly safe. It was a perfect crime.
I was not only Harry Deagle's lawyer, I was also the family solicitor for Sir Danvers Carey, and I was summoned to the house. Elizabeth had also sent for Deagle, but it had been too early to reach him. Meantime, Inspector Newcomb of Scotland Yard gave me some information.
Mr. Edison, we have an identification, a clue to the murder.
A clue?
A great good chance a maid in the house opposite was looking out of a window during a short lift in the fog.
She saw the two men on Sir Danvers' doorstep, and she heard one of them give his name as Hyde.
What was he like, Inspector?
Particularly small and particularly wicked-looking, is what the maid called him.
Yes, it must be. I think I can take you to his house, Inspector.
Oh, Henry, my dear, I have nobody in the world but you now.
God help me to help you, Elizabeth.
The inspector has told me somebody recognized him.
Recognized him? Who?
The murderer. There was a man called Hyde.
Hyde.
Have you ever heard of him, Henry?
No, never.
I didn't think so. He must be a madman, a fiend.
Yes, a fiend. The devil himself.
Forgive me for disturbing
you. Oh, Mr. Utterson, did you find out anything?
Perhaps. May I see the people? It's very urgent.
I understand. I shall go upstairs.
If you need me, Elizabeth, I shall.
Yes, Henry.
Keekle, have you heard? The police know the identity of the murderer.
See, Elizabeth herself, she told me.
Utterson, I swear to you I will never set eyes on him again. I must tell you, Keekle, I went with the police when they searched Hyde's rooms. He must have lost his head completely. He left a broken end of the stick with which he killed Carey. It was the stick I gave you, Keekle, 20 years ago.
Surely you didn't tell the police that?
No, I didn't feel bound to. It makes no difference. They also found part of Hyde's checkbook, which he tried to burn. The man's obviously mad, for money's his life now. He can't escape without money. Unless you, Deacle, should be foolish enough to answer any appeal.
I am done with him in this world. And mark my words, he will never be heard of again.
For your sake, I hope you're right. If he came to a trial, your name might appear.
Hyde knows he is finished with me. He has returned the key to my back door, which I gave him.
Look. How did this come, Deacle?
There was a letter. It came by messenger. And I am at the loss to know whether I should show it to the police. I should like to leave that in your hands, Utterson.
Let me see the letter. Well, what it comes to is this. Thank you for 1,000 generosities. Don't worry about my safety. And goodbye forever.
Exactly.
One more thing. It was Hyde, no doubt, who dictated the terms in your will about your possible disappearance.
Yes.
I knew it. He meant to murder you. You've had a narrow escape.
What is much more to the point, Utterson, I have had a lesson. Dear God, what a lesson I have had.
Come in, guest. Good morning.
You sent for me, sir.
Yes, you're a student of handwriting. What do you make of this? A murderer's autograph from Hyde.
A madman? Let me see it, Mr. Addison. No, sir, not mad, but it is an odd hand. It reminds me of... Mr. Addison, let me see a specimen of Dr. Jekyll's handwriting.
Jekyll? Well, the will's in the document case.
Yes.
What do you want with it? Why are you comparing them, guest?
Well, sir, there's a rather singular resemblance. The two hands are in many points identical, only differently sloped. Remarkable. It might be the same hand.
Henry Jekyll had committed forgery for a murderer. The thought made my blood run cold. Then, in the weeks that followed, Jekyll's conduct took on a new and unexpected turn.
Good morning, Utterson.
Oh, Jekyll.
I've come to explain why I could not keep our engagement last night. I was asked to go down to Whitechapel to a poor woman who needed a very specialized opinion.
Whitechapel? A charity patient?
Yes. And I did not return home till past midnight.
I see. Well, what have you been doing with yourself all these weeks?
Work. Good. Hard work. Nothing else. I have so much lost time to make up, Butterfield. So much wrong to repair.
The seriousness of his manner was a contrast to his usual self.
It was as if a man were doing penance. Then one day Elizabeth Carey came to my office. With her was our friend, Dr. Lanyon.
Otterson, Miss Carey and I have some disturbing intelligence. We're very puzzled.
Dr. Lanyon, I've had the same odd experience with Henry.
Oh, I haven't seen him lately.
Well, that's the trouble. Neither have I.
Nor have I.
Well, Lanyon, you know the Deacle's been working hard.
Yeah. Well, you tell him, Miss Carey.
Well, I haven't seen him for more than a week, so I went there yesterday. And he sent out word by his butler that he was working in the laboratory and would see no one. He literally turned me away from his door.
When I went to the house, I met the same mystifying reception. Henry Jekyll was no longer seen in the hospital. He had disappeared into the complete seclusion of his laboratory. But there, unknown to us, he was writing the letter that finally bared his heart, his terror, and his tragedy.
If I am the chief of sinners, Utterson, I am also the chief of sufferers. I was hard at work laboring to do some good in the world, and I was succeeding. So much so that I began to feel I was above the assaults of temptation. And on one bright winter afternoon, when I had gone for a walk in Regent's Park, I fell to thinking that I was no worse than the next man. I was thinking that all in all, Henry Jekyll, M.D., F.R.S., etc., was rather a splendid fellow, a credit to his country and an ornament of his profession. On a quiet bypass in the park, I sat on a bench, complacently considering my life.
Warning! He was there! Took you unawares, eh, Dr. Jekyll? That is a warning against too much self-satisfaction.
Hi, what have you done? How have you taken possession of me? I did not drink the potion.
My dear Henry Jekyll, M.D., F.R.S., etc., splendid fellow that you admit yourself to be, have you overlooked the interesting fact that I am now so strong, thanks to your former invitations to me to appear, that I can arrive without your always troubling to drink the potion?
That have you forgotten? You're wanted for murder, Hyde. The police have been looking for you in every corner of the land for months.
Police?
Remind yourself. The drugs are in the cabinet. You have no key to get them. If you knock at the front door, my servants themselves would turn you over to the hangman. You've trapped yourself, Hyde.
Quiet, you sniveling coward. Let me think. Some way out. I know. I have it. I can write people's hands. Go to an hotel. Letters to Poole, the butler. To Dr. Lanyon. Lanyon will help. Lanyon has never seen Hyde. Cab, quick, hurry.
Where to, Governor?
Portland Hotel. Hurry.
What a strange request for Dr. Jekyll to make.
He will call here at your house at midnight.
And these are the drugs I'm to turn over to him.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Very curious.
Yes, sir. I was thinking that if Dr. Jekyll doesn't return by morning, I should notify the police.
Yes, they might be available. And you'd best return home now.
Very good, sir. And good night, Dr. Langland.
Yeah, good night, Paul. Poor Chico.
Dr. Lanyon.
Yes? You come from Dr. Jekyll?
I am.
Oh, you're pumped. Come here, then.
Have you got it? Have you got it?
Pray remove your hand from my arm, sir. Forget I've not yet the pleasure of your acquaintance.
I beg your pardon, Dr. Lanyon. I came here at the insistence of your colleague, Dr. Henry Jekyll, on important business, and I understood. I understood.
There it is, sir. Calm yourself. You're almost hysterical, man.
Dr. Lanyon, have you a graduated glass?
Yes.
Here. I am obliged. Now.
Would you consider me presumptuous in my own house if I asked you, sir, what that mixture represents?
A scientific achievement, Dr. Lanyon, which you would not understand.
I resent your tone, sir.
Will you be wise? Will you be guided? Will you let me take this glass in my hand and go without another word? Or has your curiosity too strong a command over you? Think before you answer. As you decide, Dr. Lanyon, you shall be left as you were, neither richer nor wiser. Or, if you prefer, a new province of knowledge shall be laid open to you here in this room now.
Don't talk in pretentious riddles, sir. I have my doubts of you, but no, I've gone too far now. I prefer to see the end.
There! Lanyon, you remember your vows. What follows is under the seal of your profession. now. You who have so long been bound to the narrow and material views, you who have denied the virtues of transcendental medicine, you who have derided your superiors, behold!
What have you done to your
father?
Oh, here, let me help you.
Stay away! Stay away!
Dog! Your features are turning black! Oh, stop it! Stop it!
Too late, Magus. You wanted to see.
No!
Your shaft!
Your face! What's happening to your face? It's horrible. Who are you? What are you? That face. Tinkle! Tinkle, it's you! But hideous, distorted. Tinkle!
Tinkle! I hear you! Tinkle! I'm going!
Oh, merciful God, what have I seen? Tinkle! There is murder in your eyes.
Lanyon.
Tinkle.
Lanyon.
I cannot believe. I cannot understand. My heart is choking me. Tinkle, not you.
Yes. Yes, it is I, Henry Tinkle. And now, Lanyon, I will tell you all.
I can't bear it. It's beyond knowledge. God, have mercy. I cannot endure what I have seen.
The appalling sight Lanyon witnessed gave him a shock from which he did not recover. In something less than a fortnight, he was dead. It was then that Tinkle ceased all communications with his friend. Then that he refused admittance to Elizabeth, to me, to everyone. Elizabeth returned again and again. She was there one day with Poole, the butler, when Tinkle suddenly unlocked the laboratory's door.
Henry.
Elizabeth, I said I don't want you here.
But I must talk to you, my dear. I know you're in trouble.
Come in, then, Elizabeth. Poole, I want you to go out at once to Mrs. Moore for that sodium concentrate.
But the other servants are out, sir. You'll be alone in the house.
No matter. Do what I say, ma'am, at once.
Henry, darling, why must we stay in the laboratory?
Please, Elizabeth, do not question me.
Oh, my poor dear, you look so ill. What have you been doing?
It is my own fault, dear. I made the greatest discovery of the age, but I approached it basely.
Dear, I do not understand.
Elizabeth, I have done evil. Now, I am damned.
Oh, no, my beloved. Of one thing I am sure. You have never been deliberately cruel or brutal, never.
You say that. You, of all people in the world.
Oh, my dear, forget all the past. Come away with me. There's still time.
Elizabeth. Where's for God? It's beginning.
Henry.
Go. Go. In a moment, it'll be too late.
I will not.
Get out, I say. Oh.
Henry. Henry, please. Oh. Oh.
Be quiet. We are alone in the house now, just you and I.
Go away. Stay there. Who are you? Where did you come from? Oh, your hands.
Well, they are very strong hands, my dear.
Let me out at once.
Certainly. Here is the key. Come and get it, dear lady. Just reach for it. No!
Oh, don't. Don't touch me. Henry! Henry! Save me!
Darling, you should have known me. I am Henry. Come. Come and kiss me.
Oh.
The lady has swooned. Overcome with emotion.
Rises on the third act of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, starring Frederick March, Barbara Bel Geddes, and Hugh Williams.
Let her go. Fool knows she's in here. If you harm her, they'll break the door down. It'll be the end of you.
Ah, the lady is still in a faint. Much, much simpler.
Merciful God, do with me as thou wilt hereafter. But for this moment, give me the strength to assume my other form. Give me the power to save this girl who is innocent of my wrongdoing.
No!
Dear God, I thank you. Elizabeth, darling, desire, breathe deeply. Dearest, I am at your side. You fainted, my love.
You seem to change, Henry. Your face, your hands.
Oh. You must believe your doctor. It was all an hallucination, my dear. You're all right now. You must forget it.
Henry, leave this place. I beg you, come away with...
Darling, I'm finishing a very long letter to Edison. It's most urgent, and I have not much time.
I know you're hiding something. What can I say?
Say only that you forgive me for whatever wrong I have done you. Say only that you believe I love you, and that I shall love you to the end.
Oh, I do believe
you. Now you must go.
I shall come back again. God bless you.
And you, Elizabeth. Farewell.
Secretly, that lovely girl. Keeper, you canting hypocrite!
Hyde, I warn you. The police are seeking for you for murder. If you return again, it means the rope for you. I've saved you so far by my power. My power is vanishing, man. It has required a stronger and stronger potion to transform you.
Well, I have grown. On that first night, did I not promise you I would? A little more time, and I, Hyde, shall be the master.
Yes, what is it?
Dr. Deacon, is that you, sir?
What? What do you want, fool?
Here's a fresh lot of the drugs, sir. I went to yet another chemist.
Yes, put it down outside the door and go.
Very good, sir. Dr. Deacon, are you all right, sir?
Did you hear me tell you to go? Now to prepare the drug. For once, Keekle was right. Hyde must vanish, never be seen again. There's no refuge for him. Oh, now may this work. Ready. May all the powers of darkness restore the potency of this drug and give me safety. Keekle, I drink. Behold and come forth. It doesn't act. Keekle, you bungling fool, what have you done? The potion is ineffective. There!
You do not understand. Hyde has appeared now against his own desire. It was no act of his which brought the transformation.
Keekle, for pity's sake, help me. Tell me what to do.
Dear Dr. Keekle, won't you please help me? I am your humble admirer and servant, your slave.
Answer me! Keekle, don't abandon me! I am alone.
Mr. Utterson,
sir.
Fool. What's the matter? What do you want?
Mr. Utterson, I'm very sorry to wake you, sir, at this time of night.
What is it, Poole?
I think there's been foul play, sir.
Foul play? How, Poole? When?
I'm afraid, sir, something has happened to Dr. Jekyll. I beg you to come and see for yourself.
Very well. And we'd better send for Miss Carey, too.
Dr. Jekyll? Mr. Utterson, sir, is asking to see you. And Miss Carey.
Tell him I cannot see anyone.
Thank you, sir. Now, does that sound like Dr. Jekyll?
The voice I heard in that horrible dream, or whatever it was. Oh, Mr. Addison, I fear Henry is terribly, terribly ill.
His voice is certainly much changed.
Once only I saw him, for a moment. Sir, he was wearing a mask on his face.
A mask? Ah, then I begin to see daylight. Your master, Poole, has been attacked by one of those disfiguring illnesses.
No, Mr. Addison, it's something more, something worse. I'm sure of it.
Well, we shall see. Keekle, I demand to see you. Elizabeth and I must and shall see you. If not by fair means, then foul. If not with your consent, then by force.
Henry, dear, unlock the door.
A mercy! A mercy! Leave me!
That's your Jekyll's voice. I remember.
That's the man who ran over that little girl. That's Hyde. Go and bring her that fool. We'll smash down the door.
Jekyll, if they break down the door, I beg you, put me away. Jekyll, you who are now only a thought in my mind, let me give you a body. Show me how.
So, now you want my shape, Mr. Hyde. You remember when you begged me to give you a form? I yielded to temptation. Now, I am helpless.
That day in the park, I first became myself, Hyde, without the potion. Why can I not become Jekyll now without it? Transform me.
This is the last irony, Hyde. The last irony. All the potions of London Town will not transform thee, little man.
You jest, curse you.
Look at the table, Hyde. There is tablet of poison. Take it, Hyde, and die.
No, I will not. I am still the master, Jekyll.
With my last flicker of being, I order you. Die now, Hyde.
No, no, spare me. Spare me.
Take the poison. The mind of Jekyll directs the hand of Hyde. Hyde dies, and Jekyll dies with him.
Oh, mercy! Mercy! For pity's sake!
Mercy, fool!
Several more blows and the door is down.
That's done it. Jekyll!
What's the Jekyll? Where is he?
Henry! No! Oh,
Dr. Jekyll is dead.
Has fallen on the Theatre Guild on the air production of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We express our thanks to our stars, Frederick March as Jekyll and Hyde, Barbara Bel Geddes as Elizabeth, and Hugh Williams as Utterson. Our thanks also to the other members of our cast whom you heard in these roles. Dr. Lanyon was played by Barry Kroger, Poole by Carl Harbord, Sir Danvers Kerry by Charles Francis, Mr. Guest by Donald Bucher, Inspector Newcomb by Wesley Addy, Arabella's Mother by Kathleen Cordell, Arabella by Denise Alexander, and The Cockney Woman by Jean Cameron.
The Theatre Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Lawrence Langer and Teresa Helber, and is directed by Homer Thicket with R. Minor Marshall as executive producer. F. Mark Smith is editor, and the music is composed and conducted by Harold Levin.